It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Into hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. So, baseball was supposed to be played at Citi Field. First pitch was supposed to be in just a few minutes here, but they had to postpone the game. They did. Announced it yesterday, the right thing to do. So, the Mets will open their season tomorrow at Citi Field. And we'll get deeper into all that stuff with them, and then we'll get Gelbsy on, as we always does, and just talk about the Mets and what they have ahead of them this coming season. The Yankee season will start at just after 4 p.m. today, as they will be in Houston taking on the Astros. And, you know, Bart, Gerrit Cole was just officially put on the 60-day IL, so the earliest they'll get him back could be May. So they've got to try to, you know, get through the start of the season without their ace, and that puts a lot of pressure on Carlos Rodon and obviously Marcus Stroman to really carry things for this team until he gets back.
Well, it's going to be on this defense and the bullpen. It's going to be for this offense. I mean, you went out there and you got two of the most electric bats in all of baseball.
Right.
Then it's supposed to be them. Like, if they got to win shootouts, and the bullpen or starting rotation giving up over three ERA, four over. I don't care. I don't want to hear no excuses. Y'all got two of the greatest bats back to back. Like, name somebody that has a better lineup than Judge
at the very
and
top.
Soto. Yeah, at the top. Like, I know
Rizzo,
the man who's
healthy
not there.
Rizzo in the cleanup spot. Also, if he's if he's locked in, like last year he got the concussion. He just wasn't the same after that. But if they can get him. With obviously him recovering from the concussion, if they got him healthy and he got his bat, you got to add Rizzo to that too. I mean, those three guys in a row is serious.
And that's probably why the brass said, if we're getting Cole back, we're good. We should be able to be battle tested early on in the season.
Right.
And let's see if our guys, right. A lot of times, the pitching, because guys aren't stretched out, aren't ready to go. So advantage, you can get through that rotation, that lineup, putting the ball on the bat, ball in play, see the pitcher two times through, then they're going to the bullpen. So how quickly can this starting lineup, get at these pitchers and force them to go to the bullpen where it should be advantage you?
Well, you think, remember, the bullpen's not what it used to be because they had to give up some pieces.
I'm talking about the opposing team.
Oh, the opposing teams. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's –
Yeah. Ball on bat. I want to see high percentage. Oh, don't give me this launch angle. Don't give me this. Put the ball in play, man. Let's put the ball in play and let's wear these guys down.
Yeah.
Be more like the Astros as far as being able to put the ball in play, getting through the rotation so that you can get to the scrubs.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. That really used to be the Yankee way, right? You just wear out
grind
the starter
out, yeah.
and then get to their bullpen, and a lot of times the bullpen is where
get
you
to the
can,
fifth and sixth inning, and then here comes the offensive burst.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, keep this in mind, too, when it comes to Yankee fans, you've always had your punching bag, right? Every year there's been the punching bag. Well, this year, no Josh Donaldson. He was a punching bag for a while, right? Remember Joey Gallo was a punching bag. Gary became one as well. Aaron Hicks was a punching bag. Like, so I'm wondering, and I'm curious, 800-919-3776, who is the punching bag now this year? Like, who is the one that you're going to be – like, that fans are going to go after them the most?
Stroman has a punching bag face.
It's got to be Rodon, though, right? Don't you think it's going to be? Because he was brought in to be that number two. They gave him a big, he has $120 million. The contract is there. His reputation preceded him as a guy that when he's right, he's one of the better pitchers in the game, but he has not been good as a Yankee.
And he reacts poorly to criticism.
Yes, great point. Yeah, hates it. He's got rabbit ears, too. It's a great point. So is it him? Is it Stanton? Will Stanton start to hear it from the fans?
Stanton's unflappable, man.
He doesn't deserve it, but I'm saying, who's going to be the punching bag? Who's the one that the fans – because you know how it is with fans. Fans are a little more irrational when it comes to why they don't like you. It generally starts with, we pay you all this money and this is what you give us. That would – as if it's their own money. So fans will start with the money thing. And that's why I'm wondering if it's either one of these two.
And then a bad attitude, not saying, hey, I'm just trying to do my part. I know I got to be better. I know the fans are frustrated.
Which Stanton does that. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Rodon.
Rodon, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that I think I'd watch him carefully early on to see if the fans get on his case quickly. But for the Yankees, you know, it's going to be always about the same thing year after year. Hal Steinbrenner said it, the pressure's on us, but we deserve this pressure. And that they want to, every year it's the same goal, is to win a championship. Do we think that they're good enough to do that this year? Do we think they can? You know, that's, I don't care at this point. I've said enough. Whatever they do at the start of the season, I'm not overreacting at all. I am not, to me, it's going to always be about get into
win.
The playoffs and show me what you do when you get to October. Because anything between now and then, you haven't earned that from your fan base, I think, over the last couple of years for them to believe and buy into anything. This is going to be a wait-and-see kind of year, Bart. That's unfortunately the reality of the Yankees right now. It's almost like unfair that I can't sit back and just chill and enjoy a season and see how it plays out, because it does feel like the anxiety and pressure is ramped up so much this season because of what the last couple of years have looked like.
Yeah, none of us cares until we see them have success in the postseason, right?
Right.
They didn't make the postseason last year, so the pressure's on. Like, listen, put up or shut up. I mean,
yes.
Listen, you talk about this is Boone coaching for his career, I believe. Unfair, but he's the first guy. Last guy hired, first guy fired, right? Cashman been around. So, you know, I don't know what, you know, Cashman has, the relationship with the with the family. I don't see Cashman being let go. They blame everybody, right? Blame hitting coach. Blame, you know, they'll blame every pitching coach. They'll blame everybody but
I believe
who buy the groceries.
They have pretty much fired everybody but
that's what I'm saying.
Right? When you think about it, even the medical staff has been fired.
Right. The last person so they got two people they can fire. Who they can blame it on? They can blame it on Boone or Cashman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's simply it.
Well, speaking of Boone, talking about the expectations for the coming year, and they don't change.
There hasn't been a season that I haven't thought was as important as it gets. You know, whether we're coming off losing in the American League Championship Series or, unfortunately, last year we don't make the playoffs. Like, as much as, you know, the noise was and has been outside of, obviously, last year was not it, and we expect a lot more than that. Going into every season, there's that same excitement, energy, anxious, nervous, whatever it may be, but the expectation has never been different. I mean, that's no different this year, coming off a difficult season. The one thing I have said throughout the winter is I do feel like there was an extra edge to our preparation, to our players' preparation, to that preparation that carried over into pre-spring and the early part of spring training and throughout. And, you know, even in the, as we go through our advanced meetings today as groups, like, there's an edge and a focus and a commitment that is where I think it needs to be.
Bart, tell me about the year after the first AFC championship appearance. And then you lost that game. So you were right there, just one step shy of a Super Bowl with Rex, first year with the Jets. Tell me about that offseason and then training camp and that whole thing, what he's talking about here about the edge. Does that exist? Is that a real thing that carries from season to season?
I mean, we were talking about, hey, listen, we right there. Like, why not us, right? We thought, you know, we got Chris Jenkins coming back. He was, like, one of our best players. We lost him 2 years in a row. We didn't think we'd lose him 2 years in a row. He was our best player. Guys stepped up. We discovered some other guys. But we were like, you know what? We're gonna embrace, because I think that's when you got total buy-in. You got total buy-in from guys who thought, you know, this is the same Mangini talk, whatever, we're going to talk, we're not going to, you know, they were trying to wait and see who Rex was. And the only way you can find out who he is when you hit adversity. And we hit that losing streak where we thought we were done. And then, you know, he never changed. So guys were like, okay, he 10 toes down all the time. And he never threw any players under the bus. He never blamed anybody else. He was always saying, yeah, it's me. So guys were like, yo, this is our guy. We're going to fight for him. So going into the second, we're like, hey, we right here. We made some subtle improvements. And we say, hey, the expectations are high. And we don't care that the expectations are high. We some badasses. And whoever wants some smoke, we want all the smoke. I feel like we were like Memphis. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were young, braggadocious, and we didn't care. And we had some guys that had been around that was like, that knew what it was all about. So didn't care about who was in the division. Didn't care about, you know, who our quarterback was. We said, hey, listen, this is all we need. And this is how we got to win. And this is where we put our money into. We got to hold people down. We're going to run the ball. We're going to smother guys. And that's what we did.
So it's important for someone like Aaron Judge to have that voice, right?
He has to step up and give Boone the seal of approval. Like, hey, man.
Well, he did. Remember, he did. He made it clear, I want him back as manager.
Right,
he did make that clear.
He got to flex his muscle, man. But he also has to lead. He has to understand how important it is for him to stay healthy, because when he's out of the lineup over the last couple of years, that's where you overstress everybody. Mm-hmm. So Judge has to stay healthy and say, listen, this is going to be my year where I'm the best player in baseball, and it ain't even going to be close. You know what I'm saying? And then that allows Soto to say, hold up, man. I'm the best player in baseball. And then he has a great year. You need both of those guys on point, because when they're on point, that's going to mean everybody else don't have to carry nothing. They just gonna be like extras. They gonna have their best seasons, because the two top guys are playing at such a high level and so locked in and so focused that they're gonna see such easy pitches, man. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be a cakewalk.
They have three of the best players in baseball. One of them is hurt right now, Garrett Cole, but they do expect to have him back. But they have three of the best players in baseball. Now the Dodgers can also boast similar kind of argument where they have a ton of talent. But when you consider what the Yankees have.
I don't know if they say they got one or two.
Well,
one or two best hitters in baseball.
Well, you got two of the best hitters in baseball, and then you have the best pitcher in baseball in the American League, because he just won the Cy Young, right? So you have three of the best players in the sport. If those three guys can stay healthy. Now, that's a big question about, again, we don't know what Cole's going to be when he comes back, but the good news is that they do expect him to come back. Aaron Judge stubbed his toe on a wall. It was a freak thing that happened last year, but it set him back and obviously set the franchise back. I still want him playing with that kind of abandon. He's going to play center field now this year. That's also something to watch. How often is he in the DH spot to give him a break? Because center field every night is something that you know can wear down, and a player is just such an importance of him. But you want that bat in the lineup as much as possible.
And I think just sleep like Stanton is a throw-in, man. Just one of the best hitters in baseball.
And he's slimmed down. Health. He showed power in spring training towards the end, which is a great sign. And I think he's a big variable in the lineup, don't you?
I think he can be the unsung hero. Because, like, I mean,
yeah,
he,
you don't know.
He can catch fire, man, with a ball.
Yes, he can.
The ball just comes off of his bat. What's been
the issue with Stanton? It's not that he can't hit. It's not that he can't hit for power. It's that he doesn't stay in the lineup long enough to have that impact, right? Like, anytime he starts to get hot, what happens? Oh, he's got a hamstring strain. Right, exactly. So it's so important to keep – health is everything with this team. But the expectations for this team, it depends on who you ask. You know, Baseball Reference does their probabilities and how they put things together, right? And they do all their analytics, and they project the Yankees to be, I believe this one is one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
And then there's it depends on what analytics you're looking at.
The interesting thing is, you know, in watching Get Up this morning, you know, Mendoza picks the Orioles in the World Series. So, like, that doesn't bode well for the Yankees. That means that, you know, they got to deal with the Orioles, and say that with a straight face for the first time.
But it's been a while for the Orioles. I want to get it right. So Pecota is the one system that they do, the Baseball Prospectus. And they have the Yankees winning, on average, all the sims that they did, 91, almost 92 games, 92 wins on the season.
After Cole got hurt.
Which would be second best in the American League. So they have the Yankees as one of the top teams in the American League. That's what Pecota has. But Baseball Reference is completely different, where they have them as one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to wins. So,
is that because of their starting rotation?
Is it something in between? You know what I mean? Like, that has to – like, where is it in between? Now, here's Jeff Passan. This is on ESPN Daily. And his expectations for the Yankees this season, and they're not good.
I don't have the Yankees making the playoffs this year. Garrett Cole's elbow. If Garrett Cole's healthy, they're in. Garrett Cole's not healthy right now. We have no idea when he's going to come back. His elbow is a mess. There's nerve issues. The UCL is not torn to the point where he can't throw, but it ain't pretty. I hope Garrett Cole comes back healthy and better than ever. But I know pitchers and I know arms. And generally speaking, when you're missing a few months to begin the season, you may not necessarily come back quite the same. And really any expectation of you coming back is dependent on a really good rehab.
So you hear the concern about Cole, and I agree with him.
So they can't rush him back.
Now, I told you about Pecota and what they have. Their average was like just under 92 wins on all of their simulations. Baseball Reference, they also do the same thing. with all the different simulations that they run. They do them every single day. They do it for all their sports. In the NBA, they do the same. They right now, the average that they come up with the Yankees is insane. It's 71.6 wins and 90 losses.
What?
It's their best. Like, it's unbelievable. Like they have the Yankees as a bad team this coming season. And that's just hard to believe.
That would be...
That bad would be impossible to believe. Worse than the Red Sox would be impossible to believe. But it does depend on the health of Gerrit Cole. It does depend on the health of Aaron Judge. It depends on Juan Soto having a career year. You know, Stanton having a year where he could stay in the lineup because he worked on his body all offseason, and then it's still being able to slug and hit the way that he could hit. But, you know, that's his main concern is Cole, but there's more that Passan said that concerns him about the Yankees.
Just their age. Like, it's an old team. Aaron Judge is into his 30s now. Giancarlo Stanton old, Anthony Rizzo old, DJ LeMahieu old. Like, I understand there's an infusion of talent with Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells is going to get some time at catcher. And, of course, they traded for Juan Soto. I think he's going to have a monster season. And if anything, it's going to be the Judge-Soto connection. That makes me look foolish here, but I just look at the rest of the American League and I think there are better teams out there. And I question the Yankees starting pitching without Cole. Who's going to be the dude? Is it going to be Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be Nestor Cortes? Is it going to be Marcus Stroman? Don't get me wrong. I don't think the Yankees are going to collapse. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I just think there are other teams in the American League who have a better chance to make the playoffs.
Better than last year is 82-80. So you got to be better than that, which they need to be better than that, but yeah, you know, that's an ominous take there from Jeff Passan.
Yeah, it may not be that they're not a better team. It's the fact that everybody else has gotten better around them.
Yes.
So that's the conversation, right? Like, oh, they're much improved, but you got to keep up with the pack, and that's sometimes difficult to keep up with the pack.
800-919-3776 is the number. Again, the expectations for the Yankees, what are fair expectations as their season begins at 4 o'clock today in the House of Horrors, of course. Why not in Houston against the Astros?
But you know what the reaction going to be if they get that ass kicked? It's going to be the sky is falling.
Of course, the first game, right? Where Framber Valdez just completely dominates them, and you know they just get, you know, Cortes gets rocked, and it's just going to look bad. But you know how it goes with those first games. That's how we always react and overreact. But I want your overreaction, reaction, your real or not real take on the Yankees this season is what are your fair expectations for what they're going to be this season? What are they? That's what I need to know. We'll get the calls rolling on that. We'll start with Ken in Connecticut. Ken.
Hey, guys. So I have a Yankees haiku that I wrote because I'm just an elitist Yankees fan, but just two quick points. Punching bag, I don't think it's a player. I think it's Boone. I think it's going to be all season.
How could it be Boone, though, if you think about it? Like what could you hold against Boone that you know is not like he's walking out there like Earl Weaver making decisions and moving pieces and all?
Alan,
you know,
honestly,
everything is based on the information that they feed him and ask him to depend on.
I'm not saying it from my own personal standpoint. Right. I'm saying from a general Yankees fan standpoint. The fact that we don't have a dome stadium. Like the fact that rain falls from the sky and we're just like having to cancel our plans. Yeah. It's a bit embarrassing.
It's mad.
But anyway, as a Yankees fan, here's my Yankees haiku for this upcoming season. 90 wins, just sad. High injured list, my old friend. Enjoy Juan. Be gone.
Right. Juan could be going across town.
He'll
be ready to spin.
Yeah, the Juan Soto era might be one that Yankee fans go, that's right, he did play for us for 1 year.
He's not going to spend the money on him. Like, he's worth it.
Well, but if you think, here's the problem, is that you'll look at it and you'll have to say to yourself, what's a bigger priority, paying that money for another ace to support Gerrit Cole or paying that money to support Aaron Judge? Because that's basically what this is going to be about. It's either Soto is worth it because he supports Aaron Judge and makes Aaron Judge contract worth it, or I need a high-end number two pitcher because as I mentioned, either Gerrit Cole's not going to play the rest of this season, or he's not going to play. It's going to be a year where you miss him, and you're going to need somebody that can carry the water while he's out. So I think that's going to be the big debate in the front office as to what to do with that money and who is it better off for. Is it better off to support Cole or better off to support Aaron Judge? 800-919-3776. Al in the Bronx. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, what's going on? Bart check. It's time for a Bart check. Bart, you are the nastiest hater. I figured you out. I used to like you. I don't like you anymore.
Damn.
You're a New York
news,
hater.
News, yeah, news flash clock. No, bro. Listen.
Nah, man. No,
before you keep going.
Disguise,
before you keep going.
No, you in disguise, bro. No, every time, listen, the other day I picked up the radio. I listened to the radio to hear good things about the Knicks. You rained on the whole parade, the whole show. You are a hater. Anybody who thinks you like New York is a fool.
No.
You are a New York hater.
No,
I don't know why, because there's no beef between New York and Detroit.
No.
But you try to throw Detroit into every situation
did
with
you
New
hear,
York.
Did you hear Allen?
Yeah.
Did you hear Allen?
Nah, you're a hater. No, you're a hater.
Did you hear Allen digging up bad history for Detroit? Oh, well, you know who
care.
Scored.
Look,
you know who the Knicks scored more points against?
Allen don't care. Listen, believe me, Allen don't even know what's going on. He don't care nothing about Detroit. The only
Allen,
reason he
Allen threw
he's
two,
about Detroit
Allen threw,
is to get back at you.
Allen threw three shots at Detroit for no reason. Allen threw three shots at New York for no reason.
I used to love you, Bart, but now
I know
who you truly are.
Ain't that a song?
Yeah,
I used to love you, hip-hop.
Yo, man, you my dude, too, man. You my dude, though.
I love New York, man.
You still my dude. You still my dude, though.
I am a Mets guy. Don't
see,
give
now,
a fuck.
Why did you
like
have to have that part?
You know, you don't.
You
should have
left it right there.
New York.
You can't say you still my dude.
No, I do love Bart. But
I could have moved, man. I could have moved, man. I stayed here because I love
it. Trojan moves. We got a mold.
He said I'm a Trojan horse.
New York radio.
You can't call me a Trojan horse, man.
A Trojan, yeah.
Trojan.
They snuck you in there. Detroit somehow snuck you in there, and what you do is you just try to rain on New York parade all the
it's
time.
It's only about Detroit.
But I know who you are. I got you.
See, right, Al, I'll say this. Though. I'll say this. So,
I'm a
so
Nets
fan. Thanks for the call, Al. I'll say this, Bart. So I was looking at the sports information group, right? The stats information group from ESPN, and they were giving all the numbers about the Knicks, you know, scoring 140 whatever points last night. And I just happened to notice that, like, every historical landmark was Pistons. And I thought, oh, Bart's going to love this.
Yeah, but no, you knew.
So I figured, let me read these to Bart and make you, like,
mad. And so it looks like I'm hating, but I don't only hate on New York when I'm defending Detroit.
And, oh, by the way, the Knicks and Pistons have played each other three times in the playoffs. The Knicks have won two of the three series.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so what am I supposed to do? Because I got my people from Detroit that listen to this show. And they gotta say, dang, you just gonna let them do that to us, son?
Well, and that's the same as all the people that are Knicks fans who listen to the show, and then they hear you just taking the side of a terrible caller saying you're gonna let Bart do that, and so I'm the same thing. Like, nah, I can't let you do that.
Right.
So they're
using us against each other, man.
See what they're trying to do? They're trying to tear us apart.
They don't want us to have good things.
No, that's what it is. They see how much fun we have had. They see how much fun this week, by the way, right? How much fun have we had this week on the shows? They see that and they don't like it. Like, oh, these two guys get along too much. It's not good.
Let's make it.
We can't have the white man and the black man having too much fun in public. People might think that's a good thing and they might want to do more of that.
It's like when the guy came out and shook Jackie Robinson's hand at the game.
Right.
Like
that was Pee Wee Reese. His arm around him.
Yeah, my family saw that. You know, that's why we had to do, Doc. Don't let him come between us, Allen. I love New York. Listen, if I didn't love New York, why would I be going to the games on my off time?
You love money. That's what you love. Let's be honest.
You know what I'm saying? Some of the best things that the New York Knicks got is from Detroit. We gave you Allen Houston. We was like, all right, we got Grant. We don't need both of them. Y'all can have Allen Houston.
We did. The Knicks paid him in free agency.
Yeah, but we could have kept him.
He didn't want to stay.
Yes, he did.
You got to Google that one.
Him and Grant Hill would have been great together.
Got to Google that one.
Him and Grant Hill, two of the poster boys for light-skinned people.
I will say this. Detroit gave New York some really nice cars that are now going to be charged $15 just to drive south of 60th.
We still fighting that fight, man.
It's over.
That's okay. What we going to do? We going to stop driving to New York.
No, to me, that only –
No,
see, this is the problem.
We need to ride our bikes over here so they don't get no money for like a month. I'm like, all right, y'all
want
to play that game?
But that's what they want, because you know what they'll do? They'll say, well, you know, there's no more traffic. We don't have any cars using streets anymore, so let's just open it up and turn it into bike lanes.
Yeah, but
isn't that awesome?
But you know what? If nobody's spending money.
No, it's not awesome.
If the MTA ain't getting nobody coming through, and guys like, nah, let's go to New York. Nah, let's just go hang out in Edgewater. Let's go hang out in Long Island
City.
Well,
I'm sure.
And ain't nobody coming in.
I'm sure ESPN is willing to pay us extra for the extra money now it's going to cost to drive in New York City, right?
Well, this just means I work in the city once a week.
Yeah, probably.
That's all that means, huh?
Claim hardship, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take Owen in Newark. Owen.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
What's up, Owen?
Kuda Matatos.
Hey, listen, first of all, y'all got the greatest show on radio. I'm just going to let you know that. I don't know if you guys remember me, but I had called like last year sometime. And I know that Bart got a good friend named Owen, too. And I remember that day I called you. I was talking about him.
Yeah, he looked like Tommy.
And at the end of the day, I want to just tell you this, man. I had cancer, and I actually am beating it now. And I had to diagnose it in December. So I'm going to get off this treatment. But the point is, y'all guys hold me down every day at the end of the day. And I really appreciate that. You bring a smile to my face. Great job. I was calling for two things. Number one, I think Tiz is doing an outstanding job. I've always believed in Tiz because of the lineage, basically the tutelage that he's gotten, the mentorship through his time when he was with the Knicks when he was an assistant, if you remember. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jet, Knick, and Yankee fan die hard. So I really appreciate the job he's done, and I think he's done outstanding basically because of the injuries, and I think it's a blessing in disguise because at the end of the day, we found out now that these other players that we knew nothing about is great. You even got to give props to the GM and the ownership because at the end of the day, Dolan's stepping out of it. And look at all the pickups we have done from OG to Hart to D that we got from the Warriors. Everybody's working out well, so we know we have two teams in one. So I'm looking for a long run. I mean, I don't know NBA championships, but I say we give anybody a run for the money and for the conference championship.
That's all we want to see. I think a victory is the Eastern Conference championship. And, man, you keep kicking cancer's ass, man. You know what I'm saying?
God bless
you. We'll keep making you laugh, even if Allen has to tap dance for you.
Even if I have to tap dance. That means you're going to stay healthy and live a long life. I'm all about that.
Do they make tap shoes in size 20?
I'm sure they do.
Hey, were you always picked first when you were little in kickball?
No.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Just bigger foot better in kickball?
Well, fat feet.
Fat you know feet. Yeah.
Fat, heavy feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with your long feet though, that should be like an anvil, you know what I'm saying? Like you ask for baby bouncies. Boom. It's like it's funny, the kickball was the same thing as the dodgeball. You use the same ball.
Same exact ball.
It's like boom.
Yeah.
Man, we should tear cats up with that dodgeball. Boom.
The best thing about kickball too was that you could just peg somebody with the ball while they were running from base to base and they're out.
Yeah.
Which you can't do in baseball. Now you want to make baseball fun? Let me peg you with the ball, and that means you're out.
They run in the second, you hit him in the back of the head.
Actually, you get two outs if you hit him in the back of the head.
Double play.
inning over if you get two in one shot. All right, audio files coming up next. Today's a very important day, though, everybody. It's National Choking Awareness Day, and choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths. And one child dies every 5 days from choking, but let me tell you about LifeVac, a life-saving airway clearance device which has saved over 1,950 lives. LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. For a small investment, less than $75, you can be prepared to save a life. Visit LifeVac.net, enter promo code ESPN to save 20%. Secure your home kit today. That's lifevac.net and enter the promo code ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Some Met fans have to wait an extra day for opening day because of their rainout. But the waiting game is something that they'll probably get used to this year. Earlier this morning on DPH on Rothenberg, Dan was in for Dave, and the question was, will Pete Alonso be here beyond this season for the Mets?
Let's say the Mets scuffle this year, knowing that Alonso's going into his free agency at the end of the season. And at the deadline, let's say the Mets are out of it. Not even out of it. It could go either way.
You got to trade him.
That's what I'm saying. The Met fan is very attached to Pete Alonso. Like, I've come to realize that here over the last, you know, now that we talk about his mortality as a Met and his future with this team. Would you rather re-sign Pete Alonso for a ridiculous contract, which is what he's going to want, or have the chance to get Juan Soto and probably one of these marquee free agent pitchers that is going to be out there next offseason? I don't know how you don't choose Soto in the pitcher. He's a better player and he's younger.
Well, he's younger, but I mean, can we see how Juan Soto performs in New York, New Yorker, right? I mean, can we see that? Because we know Pete.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up, 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Jake's in a mood today.
DJ Reza.
Yeah. Bart and Han. All right, we'll get back to your calls at 800-919-3776. Opening day of baseball. No Mets today. They got rained out. Obviously, if you just look out the window, you know why. Yankees in Houston. They begin their season 4 o'clock.
Can we
get Nestor Cortes on the hill?
You know, as I'm sitting here, you know, I'm looking at the screens and stuff, and it's I don't know if this is confirmed, but they putting this along the ticker on the on the thing that
what do you got?
That Woody and Sala got an argument, heated argument at the meetings. Yeah, allegedly, but if it's allegedly, they
you know what?
They put it across.
We can hear about this and more
in a segment.
And as we step aside and let the headline makers, like that, do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Audio Files on 98.7 ESPN, driven by Ramsey Mazda. I'm guessing that's what this audio from Colleen Wolfe on Around the NFL, I believe that's what this is about. Take a listen.
From a very reliable source at the owners' meetings, there was a very heated conversation between Woody and Robert Saleh, to the point where it was a little awkward.
So an argument between the head coach and the owner.
Wouldn't say argument, just a
heated passionate
discussion.
Exchange.
Uh-huh. What were they discussing?
Okay, Bart, you're our insider. What were they discussing?
Got to be Zach Wilson. It's got to be, man.
Because Woody Johnson said what the other day?
Because Woody
can't trade him, we'll just keep him.
Like, what do you think you're going to get for him?
And you think Salah's like, are you out of your mind? Like, we can't do that.
Like,
don't
bro,
put that on me.
We bringing craziness into the thing, man. I already had to deal with this dude last year. You know, play him, don't play him. Don't go out and get a viable backup. And look what happened, man. Like, come on, man. Like, quit going out here saying that. You messing up our money.
It's
you messing up our ability to trade him. It had to be Zach Wilson.
It has to be, right?
Everything else is copacetic. Everything else with the team is going well. Like, why would you want this elephant in the room sitting there knowing that he's not the first, knowing he's not the second? So you're saying, hey, man, he might have to save our season, so let's just keep him on the team in case he got to come in third.
Listen, I know
people – you can't trust him at third because if Aaron goes down, Tyrod ain't too far behind maybe. So you better make sure you have a viable guy there.
You acknowledge that finally.
That you can develop.
Now, listen, I know I have gone at callers and because I really have a low tolerance for stupidity and I have a lower tolerance for lack of preparation and when you make stuff up. But I have to apologize to some of the callers that we got last year who felt like Zach Wilson's presence on the Jets was because of Woody Johnson's relationship or alleged relationship with his family. Mm. And after Woody Johnson said what he said about if we can't trade him, you know, we'll just keep him. I might start to believe that. I might start to think that there's more to this than we wanted to believe. And then when you hear that Robert Saleh is getting into it with him, and I think you're right when it comes to if we're going to just guess, we're going to play the hypothetical game. It probably had to do with something like that because of what he just said.
Yeah, something in front of
maybe
people.
Maybe there's more to the Zach Wilson on the Jets than just the fact that they thought he was really good. Oh boy!
Well, I don't know, man. We need to hurry up and move him as soon as possible.
Yeah, Joe Douglas now more than ever is probably like, I'll take a ninth round pick for him. There's only seven rounds. I don't care. Give me a ninth rounder.
Who's your sous chef at in your cafeteria? give me that.
I will trade him for the guy who cuts the bagels in your cafeteria. Like, I don't care at this point. We got to get him out. He gone. All right, let's continue. That is an interesting story that definitely needs to be followed. So keep an eye on that.
Saleh doesn't get fired and they hire Rex.
Oh, look at you.
I'm just playing.
And the first thing Rex says is like, I love Zach Wilson. What do you mean? I think the kid's great.
Yeah, I think we should just turn him
on record saying I think he'd be a really good tailback.
We should turn him to receiver.
Exactly. All right, so the Knicks get a big win last night. They continue their sort of this is a little tour in the schedule through teams with a losing record. They're 26-2 against teams with a losing record this season, the second best record in the NBA. They have 13 wire-to-wire wins, which is the most in the NBA, where they don't trail at all in the game. They've just done a great job when they are winning, when they play games you're supposed to win. You know how you get that? Fans are always like, that's a game you're supposed to win. Mm-hmm. They win those games. They don't have those trap games. They're always ready for them, and that's a good sign. They got out to a big lead early against Toronto. Toronto was missing key pieces, just like Detroit was missing key pieces. But you can't apologize for it. You just go play, win, get out of there, move on to the next one. But a bigger part of the story last night was about Mitchell Robinson returning to the lineup. He had been out since December. He had broke his ankle. They had surgery on it. They thought he was out for the season, but instead he was able to work his way back, and now he's going to be part of the team going into the playoffs. This adds a huge piece, literally, to this team. So for Mitchell Robinson, just simply, how did it feel to be back?
It felt great. Just had to work on a few things and, just keep taking day by day.
And for him, he just looked like he only played 12 minutes, got 8 points, had a couple of blocks, definitely some rust he's got to, he's got to knock off. But still, for him, his defensive presence alone was something that even he missed.
At least my defense is kind of there. I mean, I still got a little bit to work on for that, but the shot blocking is still there, so that's pretty good. Other than that, just got to get better.
So that's a great addition. Now, of course, everybody keeps asking, what about the other two? So OG Anunoby continues to be day-to-day. The elbow, he was at shoot-around. He's working his way back. The soreness going away. Hopefully they get him back soon. But the bigger thing is that you haven't heard any updates at all about Julius Randle and when he'll be back and when he'll be cleared for contact. But, Bart, it's starting now to become not when, but if. Yeah. And Tom Thibodeau is asked just plainly, will Julius Randle be back?
Yeah, we just take it day by day. Obviously, we don't want any of our players to be injured. OG, same thing. Just when you're out and you're injured, your games are your rehab. Each day, put as much as you can in, and you never know when it's going to turn. So we're hopeful. You also have to prepare for your reality, which is what you have right now. So we have to find ways to win games, and I think we've done that. But we're hopeful we'll have everyone in the end.
All right, translate that part.
We hoping that maybe he can get back but we're not going to have a lot of time to get him back in shape. And, you know, he's running, so we know he's in shape because it's not his legs, so he still can, you know, and it's not his shooting arm. So throwing little hooks, going to the basket, you know, anything that doesn't require him putting the ball over his head, I'm sure he can, you know, get his game going that way, right? Drive to the basket because you're scooping with your shooting hand. You're not, you know, shooting J's, but I don't know. We could get Spinneroni Randall.
It what's strange is that the answer to that, it was a straight question, and rather than say yes or no, like a definitive, like, yeah, we're hoping to get him back. He didn't right. give you a definitive. He just sort of talked around it, and that to me is, you know, is a big part of the concern. In the NBA last night, Golden State on the road in Orlando, and this game had all kinds of drama. First of all, the Warriors end up winning the game, and Steph Curry had some, you know, a big game again, 33 points, big shots late.
Yeah, got to.
But it wasn't even 4 minutes into the game, and Draymond Green was given two technicals for arguing with Ray Acosta, the official. Like, it was a quick tech after his first foul, and then while there was another play going on, Green keeps yelling at Acosta and complaining to him, and he gets the second tech and gets tossed. Steph Curry visibly frustrated when he saw that happen. Like, what are we doing? So after the game, Steph Curry talked about Draymond getting ejected that early.
All I said is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, him be available, that's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did, because back-to-back, you know, the team is as physical as they are. We got contributions from everybody.
It's a big win for the Golden State because they're trying to just stay in the play-in. Now,
yo, Houston's on their ass.
Yeah, Houston just won 10 in a row. But Curry kicked the chair on the bench, too, after he made the big game-clinching three. He looked, you could tell.
He's like, yo, it shouldn't take this much for me. I shouldn't have to expand this much because I'm supposed to have help out here, man.
Yeah, and he's a leader on this team. Now, Steve Kerr had this to say.
Too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys stepping up. Moses came off the bench. Big game for us. Gee made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
It just sounds like they're getting sick of this stuff, man. You want to hear Draymond?
Miss me with this indirect stuff. He don't got a clue, man. This dude that was suspended from the league.
Yep.
And, like, he goes on his podcast and act like he got sense, but then he has no self-control.
That's what it is. It's self-control. So here's Draymond's apology.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But, yeah, it just can't happen. And – you know, that, like, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that's the exception and not the rule.
Let's also remember,
what do you mean?
Two games ago, he grabbed Patty Mills and just ripped him down to the floor, like overly physical. Again, that same stuff that he does where he just dramatic with a lot of his body movements that hurts players. Bart, I'm just going to say it simply is this. Draymond has become an
juice
ego.
Ain't worth the squeeze.
Well, he's become an ego he can't control. Because these guys that are tough guys, they get to a point where everybody tells them they're tough. They believe it, and they live that persona to a point where they can't be held accountable, because when they're told, hey, you're taking it too far, they're saying, you're trying to control me. It's not my fault. It's your fault. Like, he has no accountability, Bart, and that's a problem that I think Golden State has to reach a point where they realize this ain't worth it anymore.
The problem is they already paid this dude, so who else that's is going to take him? Because he's not a guy that has a high skill set. He's a guy that works on that team with what they do,
being
a point forward.
LeBron wants him.
You can have him. You can have him. Give me Hachimura. Give me something. Because it shouldn't go down with Steph. His career has been too great for him to go down like this. I guess it's ridiculous, man.
It's like, a good point. It's like embarrassing in a way. If you think about it, like the dignity of a guy like Curry and an organization like that has done so much winning, and you got this guy acting up to a point where you could see, like, Steve Kerr's head was down. Steph Curry's kicking chairs. They're like, what are we doing?
Curry has to grow a pair. He got to grow a pair.
You think he's got to call him out?
Damn straight. Like, yo, man. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't got time for this, man.
All right, last but not least.
They're in 10th place. They had a play-in.
I know.
What are we talking about?
Now, luckily, they won the game, so it didn't hurt them, but.
Yeah, but how much energy did it take out of Steph, and how is that going to affect the next game?
Yeah, there's something to watch there for sure. Last but not least, you know the big three. You know Ice Cube, right, runs that thing. Mm-hmm. It's very successful. It's done very well in the summer. It's a half-court, 3-on-3. A lot of former NBA players who still can ball but just don't want to run up and down the floor, they are in this thing, and it's done very well. Well, Ice Cube on Pat McAfee's show, he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play in the Big Three and talked about how she could do both in WNBA and the Big Three.
Yeah, we've thought about it. It's definitely doable. You know, both leagues play on CBS, so of course they love it if we can make it happen. So, you know, it's up to the player. You know, as a league, we'll make it happen. We've always wanted to work with you know, the WNBA. We wanted to work with the NBA. Unfortunately, that hasn't been able to happen. But, you know, maybe this will open the door for that.
What do you think of them offering Caitlin Clark that kind of money to come into their league and play in what is, you know, an older men? This is not players in their prime. They're older men. And do you think she could compete?
We've all been to the gym, and we go in and ball out, you know, open run, and we see a couple women in there, and it's like, okay, and they can ball, you know what I'm saying? Especially in a place where she can be coming off screens, she's probably in way better shape than those guys because she's younger than them. So just her running around and catching and shooting can be amazing. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna already have the defense set up.
Think about guarding people, though.
I understand that. You know what I'm saying? But there's ways around that. But it is, to me, it's worth the shot. And for her, $5 million is going to be more than what she's making. It's more than what she's making there. And then the endorsement she get because she's doing something that's never been done before. The first lady, she could be a trailblazer and can open things up. Who's to say that Candace Parker won't go to the Big Three after that? Who's to say, like, you know, some of these other ballers that can't run up and down the court no more but that can still ball don't get in there? We have mixed leagues and we have co-ed Big Three.
Right. Well, let's see. All right, 800-919-3776. Should she do it? Would you watch? More importantly, should Caitlin Clark do it? Do you think she should play in the Big Three? You talk about breaking barriers and everything else. It would be interesting, that's for sure. Or is it something you're like, no, don't make yourself a novelty. She's too important to the women's game to do that. That's what I want to hear from you.
Write the check.
All right, that is, of course, Audio Files. It's driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Your call's next. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
There you go, Bart. A little cat scratch fever for you. You have no idea, do you?
Nah. I've heard this riff, though.
Oh, yeah. This is an easy one. This is one of those...
AC/DC?
What chord is this?
Do you know his nickname?
No, I don't know anything.
Whose nickname?
The Motor City Madman.
Oh.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Oh, Ted Nugent?
Is
Ted Nugent?
Is
this a Ted Nugent that got into politics?
Yeah, fraud.
Sort of.
Oh.
Detroit fraud.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah. Dino calling you out.
Damn, everybody calling me out, son.
Well, you're supposed to be this guy that represents, you know, Detroit, and yet, you know.
Yeah, but I wasn't born that late, man. I'm not that
famous. Ooh. Famous rockers is, you know, playing, and you're like, who's this? But at least you said you've heard the chord, so that means it's been played somewhere in your midst.
I know Ted Nugent because I know he was in politics late with the hat.
With the hat.
Yeah, he had the hat, the cowboy hat.
Right. From Detroit, though, but a cowboy hat.
Listen, my dad.
Well, him and Kid Rock are a little different, right? Like, they're.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But Kid Rock used to be a rapper, and then he's like, man, I suck as a rapper. Let me see if I can switch up. He used to have a high top fade made with jail. Yeah, made with jail. With jail. He had a high top fade.
Kid Rock had a high top fade?
Imagine Vanilla Ice, but higher as far as the high top. Instead of curling back, it was spiked up.
I got to look for that.
Look it up. Kid Rock.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yes, that's why nobody took him seriously as a rapper, and that's why he switched up. Now he a country guy, so he's talking about Sweet Home Alabama. You ain't never even been to Alabama.
Actually, scary thing is, I had my hair like that once in the 90s.
Yeah, but not consistently. Somebody
Somebody, like, true story, I got on the bus that morning. I gelled it straight up, right, with the sides tight. Got on the bus that morning, and one of the upperclassmen's like, did you sleep upside down?
Yeah, like, bruh.
I went right to the bathroom and just washed out all that gel. Like, okay, I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
We all do dumb things.
But he took a picture as an idiot.
Yeah, that's saved forever. Thank God there was no social media back then. Oh, my Lord. Let's give you a tournament update driven by Nissan. The men's Sweet 16 back in action tonight. UConn, everybody, playing San Diego State. UNC taking on Alabama. Iowa State and Illinois. And Arizona taking on Clemson. UConn looks like they're on a mission, man. They really do. Like, Danny's team looks like they are locked in trying to repeat, which is not easy to do, as you know, especially these days when teams are turning over so much. UNC has also looked good, but they have, like, that team's been together since, like, you know, the 90s.
Yeah.
It feels like that, right? It feels like the core of that team.
Bassett, they're like, come on, bro. You won the last national championship.
Baycott, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You won the freshman when you won the last one. You was a junior when you won
but
the last
one. But don't you like that when you – all right, it's the same guys, the same core. Anyway, that's why they're having success. So that's your Sweet 16 lineup for tonight. Just tournament update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com. Today, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to calls and the discussion, of course. The Knicks get another win last night, moving closer to the top of the East. Just two back now of second. The Yankees, they open their season at 4 o'clock, and we'll go into everything about them. And your expectations of the Yankees are what? That's what I want to hear from you. And the NFL over-under win total thing is out for ESPN Bet, and we could play that game too, Bart. Of the locals and of other choice teams throughout the league. So lots to get to in the Power Hour coming up next. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the games in the regular season starting to dwindle. The Knicks still confident that Julius Randle will return at some point. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Dan was in for Dave, and the question was, even when Randle does return, how much can he help?
When are we going to get that moment? Are we going to get that moment from Julius Randle before now in the playoffs? Because it'll be here before you know it. A couple more weeks?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to play. I mean, he's not going through all of this to not at least come back and try it. And it's just going to be a question of when he comes back, how he holds up. Because they can, I mean, they can say he's cleared for full contact in practice. Full contact in practice is nothing compared to what full contact in a game is going to be. Especially in the postseason when the opposing team knows that you're coming back from a dislocated shoulder. Right? There's a reason why in the NHL we say upper body or lower body. Because we don't want teams to know exactly what the injury is. You'd be crazy. Crazy not to target that if you were playing against Julius Randle in the postseason.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey, be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.